You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialized fiction written and read by Tansy Reid Roberts. We are reading Dead Queen Walking, part of the Castle Charming series, Chapter 6, Burning the Bluebell Candle at One End. Dennis reached Jack first, putting a friendly but firm arm around her to stop her from smashing the fairy altar to pieces. "Breathe," he told her, holding fast. He was pretty sure saying anything along the lines of "calm down" would get him punched. Jack shoved at him, and he let her. Bruises would heal, but they needed that bluebell candle to stay burning right now. "He took her," she roared. "Ziggy will be fine," Kai assured them, staring at the space where Zialin had been sitting. "They'll both be fine. They've done this before." "Yeah, we've all done our time being kidnapped by magical bullshit," Dennis growled. "Doesn't mean we have to like it." "I'm more worried about Zed," said Kai. "Ziggy knows what not to say around fairies. His experience with magical kidnapping was less nuanced." "I don't care if the fairies eat him for breakfast," said Jack. "How long should we wait?" Kai gazed at the burning bluebell candle, which reflected two bright burning dots against his eyes. "Given that we have no way of following them or contacting them," he shrugged helplessly. "Forever? As long as we have to? Till dinner?" "That candle has about 3 hours in it," said Dennis before he could stop himself. Fairyland tasted amazing. The air smelled of flowers and fresh grass and happiness. It tingled on Zee's tongue with a spark that made her whole body shiver with excitement. If it wasn't for her fury at having her stepbrother along for the ride, she might almost be enjoying herself. Master Foxglove played tour operator, helping both royals of Zix into a boat made of a giant lotus blossom. He paddled them down a silver river with enormous daisies floating in it like lily pads. "Those are the Dancing Mountains," Master Foxglove said, with an air of authority waving into the distance. "That's the Whispering Forest. Don't get lost in there. It's where we send all the will-o'-the-wisps that don't play nice with others. That's the Bracken Death Trap Valley." "He's messing with us," Zeolin said in a low voice into Zee's ear. "He can also hear you," she said, swatting Zeolin away. Master Foxglove laughed, trailing his fingers in the silver water. "What? Everyone knows how dangerous Fairyland is for mortals. And here you are, completely at my mercy." The lotus boat bumped gently against the shore on the far side of the river. Master Foxglove made a fuss about leaping out first and helping them both to dry land. Zee rolled her eyes at him, refusing to take his arm. She stepped ashore on her own. "I'm not here for myself, you know. Because being selfless has protected so many mortals from fairy magic in the past," Foxglove said gravely and winked at her. "I thought there'd be more monsters," said Zeolin, twitching at every rustle or cracking twig as they made their way through a birch forest, with jewels hanging from every branch. "Something to fight." Zee tried not to be impatient with him. He had spent months trapped in an enchanted simulacrum of a castle trying to murder him. Of course he was twitchy. "Maybe later, if you've been good," she said in a low voice. Zeolin laughed in a sudden bark and then stared at her. "You made a joke. It happens. Not usually around me," she shrugged. "We're in this together now." "So sweet," said Master Foxglove, capering up ahead of them. "Fraternal togetherness, bound to doom you both." Zeolin sighed. "I can fight him right, at some point. Eventually?" "I'm not going to stop you," said Zee. Dennis had no idea what to do. The bluebell candle was down to its last inch of wick. Jack refused to leave the grotto. Eventually, Kai admitted he had to go back to the castle to change for dinner. Dennis went with him as far as the castle kitchens and collected an empty lozenge tin from a confused cook, which he returned to the grotto. "If you put the candle in the tin, the wick will last longer," he told Jack, which wasn't a lie. He remembered his sisters trying to stretch every candle for as many minutes as possible because they had to work on some kind of trousseau embroidery through the night. Jack nodded somberly and let Dennis transfer the sticky, dripping mess of a nearly used candle into the tin. The wick dipped a little and he almost lost the flame, but recovered it at the last moment. "I don't know how much time it'll buy us," he admitted to her. "Maybe another hour, if we're really lucky." Jack nodded and stared at her feet. "I hate not being able to save her right now." Dennis thought about Kai, when he was lost to the enchanted sleep full of monsters, and even now, swallowed up by palace ritual and hating every minute of it. "I know what you mean." "Delighted you could join us," said Miss Clover, as Master Foxglove led Zee and Zeelin through a canopy of flowers to her bower of buttercups. The fairy godmother sat on a swing twined with leaves and flowers, her hair streaming behind her as she pushed back and forth like a metronome made of whimsy. "Do eat the fruitcake. It's divine." "Don't eat anything," Zee told Zeelin. "Obviously," he muttered back. "Also, have you noticed there is no fruitcake?" "There was fruit. A cornucopia of sticky rinds and dripping berries that stained the grassy lawn at the feet of the mortals and fairies alike. But no cake." "We have questions," said Zee. Master Foxglove climbed onto the swing with Miss Clover and kissed her, his hands in her hair. "Did you hear our friend? She has questions." Miss Clover giggled, a strange and brittle sound that didn't suit her at all. There was something very wrong here. "How do we get past the game playing?" Zeelin asked quietly. "We'll have to wait it out," said Zee, losing confidence fast. This had all been a terrible mistake. "How much time do we have?" he asked. The candle was liquid now, a tiny flame floating on a quarter inch of wick in a sea of molten wax. "We can't lose her," Jack said, staring at the wick as if she could keep it going by sheer force of will. The flame went out. Thank you for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRRBooks. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. One of those exclusive stories is Charm or Dare, which is a little interlude story in the Castle Charming series featuring the royals, the hounds, Jack's point of view, and magical drinking games. So if that sounds like your sort of thing, you can access that story for a $2 pledge at my Patreon. See you next week.